ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 द स्टूडेंट हु इज अधिकारी क्वालिफाइड इज टॉट बाय अ टीचर द गुरु हु हियर हु इज अ क्वालिफाइड टीचर अ क्वालिफाइड टीचर teaches the qualified student. So, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari is taught by a teacher who is shrotriyaha brahmanishtaha. Through this teaching, the teacher is going to give him the vision of the reality. For which he uses the Adhyaropa Apavada method. The methodology used in his teaching is the method of superimposition and negation. To understand what is superimposition, thereafter to understand what is negation, thereby to understand the entire method of superimposition and negation, the teacher introduced the avidya, talked about avidya. Now, before avidya, the teacher said, what is superimposition? What is adhyaropaha? To understand adhyaropaha, he said, the superimposition of avastu upon the vastu is adhyaropaha. Then he said briefly, vastu is satchidanandam brahma. You have to remember the meaning of these words without forgetting. The absolute reality which is always unnegatably is vastu. Satyam is vastu. If we say satyam is vastu, vastu is that which is always there. Vastu is satyam. Satyam means that which is always there non-negatably, unnegatably. And that vastu, what is always there that which is there always is Satchit Anandam Brahma. So the reality is that which is of the nature of existence, consciousness and limitlessness is Brahma, is implied by the term Brahman, that is Vastu. But we are going to understand the meaning of the substance, the reality implied by the term Brahman elaborately later on. Then what is Avastu? Last class I explained, I am repeating today. Avastu is Mithya. We have two words, Asat. There is another word called Asat. Vastu is Sat. Avastu is Asat. If we say Asat, the word Asat has two words, two meanings. One meaning is Tuccham, one meaning is Mithya. Avastu is equal to Asat. Asat means, Asat has two meanings. One meaning is Tuccham, one meaning is Mithya. So Tuccham means what? Tuccham means that which does not exist at all is Tuccham. But here the word Avastu does not mean Tuccham, but it means Mithya. Mithya means what? That which is not there always, but that which is as though, that which is not really, but that which is as though, which means that which has dependent existence is Mithya. So from here we can understand Sat is that which is always, Vastu is that which is always, which has independent existence, and Avastu is that which he is as though and which has no independent existence. See clear now? So Vastu is mean Satyam, Avastu means Mithya. So this superimposition of Mithya, Avastu upon Satyam Vastu is Adhyarupaha. So still we have to understand very clearly. So what is that which is Mithya? What is that which is as though? What is that which is Avastu? The question came, and for which the answer is what? Ajnanam. The teacher introduced the word Ajnanam. And I said very clearly last class, the word Ajnanam literally means ignorance. But in this context, the word Ajnanam means Prakritihi. So Ajnanam is a synonym of the word Prakritihi here. Prakritihi means original, subtlest matter. And this Prakritihi is, again then this Prakriti is of two types. What is it? Vyashtihi and Samashtihi. So the ignorance, the Prakritihi, the obtaining in an individual is Vyashti Ajnanam. The same Ajnanam, the same Prakritihi obtaining collectively in all the individuals is called Samashtihi. And this Vyashti Ajnanam or Vyashti Ajnanam is Malina Sat Tattva Pradhana Prakritihi. Otherwise called Avidya. And Samashti Ajnanam is called Vishuddha Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi. Otherwise called Maya. Now we have learnt two words, Avidya and Maya. Vyashti Ajnanam is called Avidya. Samashti Ajnanam is called Maya. Samashti Ajnanam is Utkrishtam. Vyashti Ajnanam is Nikrishtam. Utkrishtam means superior and Nikrishtam means inferior. Collectiveness of the Ajnanam obtaining in all the individuals makes it superior because it is predominantly sattvic. And Vyashti Ajnanam, otherwise called Avidya, is said to be inferior because of its non-collectiveness and because it is predominantly rajasic. I repeat the word, Malina Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi or Rajas Pradhana Prakritihi. Maya is what now? Shuddha Vishuddha Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi. Otherwise, Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi is what? Maya. And these two, basically, both are originally one and the same prakritihi. Avidya is also prakriti, the ajnanam. Maya is also prakritihi ajnanam. It's called moola ajnanam, moola avidya, which means the original subtlest matter. And this ajnanam is of the nature of inertness, ignorance. That is why it is known by the term ajnanam itself. This avidya and prakriti both serve as manifesting media for consciousness. Brahman. So the reality consciousness implied by the term Brahman manifest in Avidya Upadhi gets the status of being the Jivaha, attains the Jiva status. The same consciousness manifest in Maya Upadhi is called what? Ishwaraha. So Ishwaraha and Jivaha. What is Ishwaraha? What is Jivaha? If you ask, Ishwaraha is a name given to consciousness. But when is this name given? The consciousness, which consciousness? The same consciousness manifest in Maya gets the name Ishwaraha. The same consciousness, one and the same consciousness manifest in Avidya is called Jivaha. So two different names to one and the same consciousness in keeping with the difference in manifesting media. So this manifesting medium is called Upadhihi. Upadhihi. So Maya also is a manifesting medium, Upadhihi. Avidya is also manifesting medium, Upadhihi. So Avidya is Jiva Upadhihi. Maya is Ishvara Upadhihi. Therefore, the consciousness manifest in avidya upadhi, known as Jivaha, is said to be Avidya Upahita Chaitanyam. Similarly, the same consciousness manifests in Maya Upadhi, known as Ishwaraha, is said to be Maya Upahita Chaitanyam. The word Chaitanyam implies consciousness. Upahita Chaitanyam Upadhihi. What does it mean? Manifest consciousness is Upahita Chaitanyam. Manifesting medium is called Upadhihi. I repeat it. Manifest consciousness is called Upahita Chaitanyam. Manifesting medium is Upadhihi. Hope you are getting these words. Upahita Chaitanyam Upadhihi. So, Ishwaraha is Upahita Chaitanyam, obtaining in Maya Upadhi. Jivaha is Upahita Chaitanyam, obtaining in Avidya Upadhi. Is it clear? I have brought in the word Upahitam also now. We understood. And here, what is the difference between, we saw last class, what is the difference here? What is that which has beginning? What is that which is beginningless? If you ask this question, start from the beginning. Vastu is equal to Brahma. Brahman is equal to Chaitanyam, the consciousness. We can say Sat Chit Anandam Brahma. Consciousness, which is of the nature of existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is Brahma. Brahman is what? When you say Vastu, that which is always means what? Always means that which is timelessly. Timelessly means what? Beginninglessly. Beginninglessly means implies endlessly. So beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently, all adverbs. That which is beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently is Vastu. Which always there means it is Anadihi. Understand? Brahman is Anadihi. Anadihi means what? Beginningless. It has no beginning. Therefore, it has no cause. It has no beginning. Therefore, it has no cause. If something has a beginning, then what will you say? Anything which has a beginning means something has a beginning. Means it shouldn't have been there before. There is a time when it begins to exist, which means it must have come into existence newly, isn't it? If something comes into existence newly, it cannot come into existence. Something cannot come into existence out of nothing. Therefore, it must have come into existence from something, which means it must have a cause, isn't it? Is it clear? For something to have a beginning, which means it comes into existence newly. It comes into existence means it can't come into existence. Something cannot come into existence out of nothing. It must have come into existence from something. If something came into existence from something else, which means it has a cause. Is it clear? Whereas now when you say anadihi, beginningless means it has no cause, uncaused, causeless. Beginningless, timeless, therefore eternal, therefore what? Beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless, therefore independent. When you say beginningless, you should understand also what? Independent. Anything which has a cause has dependent existence, isn't it? Anything which has a cause is dependent on the cause for its existence, isn't it? If the pot has come into existence from clay, and the pot is what? An effect. The clay is the cause from which the pot has come into existence, which means the pot, the name and form, is dependent on clay for its existence. Is it clear now? Therefore, anything which has a beginning has a cause, and anything which has a cause has dependent existence. And here what we say? Vastu is timeless. Therefore, it is anadihi, beginningless. Because it is beginningless, it has no cause. It is causeless, uncaused. Because it has no cause, it has no dependence. It has no dependent existence. Understand? So Brahman is what? Independent. You have to remember this much. Anadihi, beginningless, therefore causeless, therefore independent. This vastu. Anadihi. Very clear. What about prakritihi, ajnanam? What about prakritihi, the ajnanam? Prakritihi, we understood, trigunatmika, trigunatmika prakritihi, trigunatmakam ajnanam. This is of three gunas, we understood, fine. But does it have a beginning? No. Prakritihi also is equally anadi, beginningless. It is beginningless, but here we have to say something what? You know, but it has no independent existence. Beginningless, but still it has no independent existence. Why? Because it is inseparable. It has no independent existence. Okay, something inseparable from vastu. There is no beginning. So, Brahman is anadi, beginningless. Maya is this. Prakriti is also anadi. When Prakriti is anadi, what about avidya and maya? Avidya and maya, nothing but same Prakriti alone. Because of the collectiveness, the same avidya is called, ajnanam is called maya. Because of non-collectiveness, same ajnanam, same Prakriti is called avidya. Two different names given, that's all. But now, avidya is also anadi. Nobody created avidya. And also maya is also anadi. What is this now? You get so many words you have heard now. So this Brahman, the beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless, independent reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Consciousness is what we say, nirupadhikam chaitanyam. Nirupadhikam chaitanyam means what? The consciousness without the upadhi is called nirupadhikam chaitanyam, pure consciousness. The same nirupadhikam chaitanyam manifest associated with the upadhi, manifesting medium, is called upahitam chaitanyam, known as Ishwaraha and Jivaha. It's called Sopadikaha. Sopadikam Chaitanyam is Sopadikam or Sagunam. Sopadikam Chaitanyam. The pure consciousness manifests in Upadhi are associated with the manifesting medium called Upahitam Chaitanyam. Is also called what now? Sopadikaha Ishwaraha. Sopadikaha Jivaha. Is it clear now? The status Jiva, Ishwara statuses are attributed to the consciousness only when it's associated with the Upadhis. Is it clear? Nirupadikam Chaitanyam Brahma. Ishwaraha Sopadikaha Ishwaraha. Sopadikaha Jivaha. Three words you have heard now. We also heard what now? Now, two Upadhis. Avidya Upadhi, Maya Upadhi. Vyashti Ajnanam, Avidya Upadhi. Then, Samatya Ajnanam, Maya Upadhi. These two are two Upadhis. Now we have totally five. Of these five, all of them are beginningless. Anadi. But what is Satyam here? If you take, Brahman alone is Satyam. Brahman alone is Vastu. Everything else is mithya. Ajnanam is mithya. Or prakriti is mithya. Vyashti ajnanam. Avidya is mithya. Samashti ajnanam maya is mithya. Ishwara status is mithya. Jiva status is mithya. Okay, the Maya Upadhi is mithya. Avidya Upadhi is mithya. Is it clear? Both the Upadhis are mithya. Avidya is mithya, Maya is mithya, which means both Upadhis are mithya. Both status is, Jiva status is mithya. Ishvara status is mithya. Brahma, Nirupadikam Chaitanyam, Brahman alone is Satyam, Vastu. Is it clear? This much we saw last class. I'm coming to the, Radhanaji reminded me where we left, but still I thought too many words I've been using. Better you learn Sanskrit words. We also saw different Ishwaras, different names given to Ishwara and different names given to Jiva and different names given to Upadhis also we saw last class. Ishwara Upadhi Maya and Jiva Upadhi Avidya both have certain names we saw. Karana Shariram. It's called Karana Shariram. See that 45th, we have to read it, I think. Line. Asya api. Yam. Ahankaradi. Karanatvat. Karana Shariram. Asya means this ajna, even this ajnanam, the vyashti ajnanam, vyashti ajnanam, otherwise called avidya, vyashti ajnanam avidya is known as karana shariram. You have to know that. This Vyashti Ajnanam, otherwise called avidya, is known as karana shariram. Why is it called karana shariram? You have to understand. He says, ahankaradi karanatvat. It is this avidya which is the cause for samsara. Cause for bondage, samsaraha. What is that which is cause for this life of transmigration, samsaraha? Avidya. The avidya is the cause of samsaraha. Therefore, it is called karana shariram. But how does this, it says, it is the cause, therefore it is called karana shariram. How does it become cause for samsara? Because of this avidya, because of his vyashti ajnanam, otherwise called avidya, there happens what? There is ahankaraha. Ahankaraha is what now you can say the erroneous notion about the self. There is, first of all, there is self-ignorance. Why there is self-ignorance? If you ask, because this, of this avidya. Avidya is the cause why we do not know what we are. And why we do not know that we do not know what we are. Isn't it? We do not know that we do not know what we are. We do not know what we are. This ajnanam, this ignorance is because of avidya. Avidya is the cause. Because of the avidya only. Therefore, what happens? There is erroneous self-perception. So, what is the cause for erroneous self-perception? Avidya. Because of erroneous self-perception, which is called adhyasaha, isn't it? It's because of erroneous self-perception, there is erroneous notion about the self. Ahankaraha. He mentions only ahankara. Ahankarasya karanatvat. Avidya is the cause for ahankara. He says, not the ahankara, he adds adi. That adi stands for, you have to take it until samsara. Isn't it? Because of avidya, there is what we can say, erroneous self-perception. Because of erroneous self-perception, there is erroneous notion about the self. Because of erroneous notion about the self, there is sense of inadequacy and sense of smallness centered on I. Because of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, there is a fundamental desire. There's a desire for long life. Desire for happiness. Desire for long life. There's a desire for, there's a want. Long, happy life. And because of this one fundamental desire, what is the wrong notion? I am a mortal. I am unhappy. I am insignificant. All these wrong notions are called what? Ahankara. Any wrong notion you entertain about yourself is called ahankara. This ahankara is because of erroneous self-perception. erroneous self-perception is because of self-ignorance. Self-ignorance is caused by what? Is this avidya. Therefore, when there is an erroneous notion about the self, I am a mortal, I am unhappy, I am insignificant, etc., then there comes the desire, I want to live long, happily. This common human fundamental desire itself is because of the wrong notion that I am a mortal. If this notion is not there, I am a mortal notion is not there, wrong notion about the self is not there, then definitely I want to live long happily, that desire cannot be there. Please understand, it is not that you have created something. You can see how natural everything is. I want to live long happily. I want to live forever. This love for continuous existence of self itself is what? No. The desire for long life itself, the desire itself, desire for life, desire for happiness itself is because of the wrong notion you have about the self. One entertains about the self. This common human fundamental desire alone results in all other desires. Understand? One root desire for all other desires. Any desire which arises in any mind is basically modified form of this one common human fundamental desire. So if our desires are so many, we have different desires. If we ask, the desires are different, the objects of desire are different, but basically if you see all these different desires of different human beings, actually have all of them have, you know, cropped up from one fundamental desire, the common human fundamental desire, I want to live long happily. Understand? So desire itself is because of what? Any desire itself is because of the wrong notion we entertain about the self. It is ahankara which results in what? Wrong, no, the desire. Therefore, avidya is the cause for desire. Avidya is the cause for wrong notion. Avidya is the cause for adhyasa, erroneous self-perception. Is it clear? Now we say, not only that, because of the desires, what do? We perform actions. All our actions are impelled by desires. We're natural. Once you perform actions, actions do produce results, phalam. So what is the cause of the desire action? Original cause of the desire? Avidya. What is the original cause of the, no? Then you have punyam and papam. In keeping with your right and wrong actions, you have fruits of actions. Once you have fruits of actions, they have to be exhausted. No choice. Because you had a desire for those fruits, you performed actions, therefore those actions produce results. The results are ordained by natural laws. Therefore, you cannot escape from the results. The results have to be exhausted. And to exhaust the results of actions, you have to be born again. You cannot finish all the fruits of all the actions in a given life itself. Understand? Janma. Once you are born again, what do you have? Avidya continues. Anadi avidya continues to be there. Again, what now? Avidya, you can say ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha. Okay, superimposition of all the limitations of when you miss erroneous self-perception means what? You mistake the non-self as the self. Thereby you superimpose the limitations of non-self upon the self. Thereby you entertain the wrong notion. Is this a list of names I taught you in introductory classes itself? I think all of you must have memorized those words. Ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, ahankaraha, asha, desire. Is it karma, phalam, janma? Understand? Rebirth. Again, same it continues. The whole life you are born, we are all what? So we say born ignorant. Born ignorant. This is not it is not a total ignorance is not there. Half ignorance is there. We are born ignorant means what? We have self-knowledge. How much do we know about ourselves? We know we are. I know I am. This half knowledge is. More than that we do not know. This much we know about the self. Therefore you are not totally ignorant of yourself. You know very well you are. But you do not know what you are. You do not know that you do not know what you are. Isn't it? Therefore you have half ignorance. That half knowledge. The half ignorance is what now? That's called Rajav Pradhana Prakritihi. Understand? Malina Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi means half ignorance. Vishuddha Sattva Pradhana Prakritihi means even half ignorance also is not there. Which means what now? Total knowledge. Is it clear? Therefore, how avidya is the ajnanam, otherwise called avidya, isn't it? This jiva upadhi, is called with jiva upadhi, is the cause of the samsara. Therefore, it is said to be karana shariram. It's the cause. Karana means cause. Then one more comment. Why is it called shariram? Why can't we simply say karanam? Avidya is the cause of samsara. Avidya is cause of ahankara. No, we can say ahankara, adhyaropa, adhyasa, ahankara, desire, action, and then punya papa, doership, enjoyership. Understand? Doership, enjoyership. And thereby karma, and then again rebirth. Again, for you to repeat it, to be born repeatedly again and again and again, what is that because of which you are born here today? We are all here. Born. What is the cause of very birth? With the knowledge I am. The birth, rebirth, isn't it? We talk about again. If you ask, why am I born? We do not know. How am I born? Isn't it? We only simply say my mother and father were there, so I am here. That much you can say. There's so many things you can ask simply. Really speaking, we do not know. It's just we are born, we are here. Which means the very cause of this birth. It is not one birth. We think only this is the birth. Before also we had many births like this. different bodies and different parents, which we can't even understand. And it is not the end of the journey. Only one compartment, one of the compartments. And we are having so many horses going to come future, which means this is why the even for the repeatedly beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths called samsara sagaraha, for the cause is this avidya. Understand? Therefore it's called karanam. But what is called karana shariram? Shariram means, don't think just the body. Okay? The word shariram means shirya mana svabhavatvata shariram ityuchyate. Shariram means that which is subject to perish, decay, subject to fall, that which is subject to resolve, subject to get destroyed, removed, is called shariram. Shiryamana svabhavatvat, that which is of the nature of, that which is destroyed. That which is subject to destruction is called shariram. So anything which is subject to get destroyed, now subject to destruction is shariram. Is it clear? Therefore, physical body, is shariram. Why? Physical body is shariram because it's a subject to fall apart, isn't it? That subject to, that which is going to fall apart, which is going to be destroyed one day or the other. That's why it's called shariram. So don't, shariram means just the body. Body is shariram. Understand? Anything subject to fall apart, subject to get destroyed is shariram. And this, what about ajnanam? Ajnanam also is going to, ajnanam is something can be resolved. Therefore, it's called shariram. It's called karana shariram. This avidya is called karana shariram, because it is the cause of samsara, cause of ahankara, thereby is cause of samsara, and it is subject to get destruction. It is going to be destroyed later on in the wake of knowledge. Therefore, it is said to be karana shariram. Is it clear? You might very clear ask, but still I want to make it. And this avidya is also said to be what? Anandamayaha koshaha. The Ishra Maya is also called Karana Shariram. Isn't it? Similarly, Karana Shariram means what? Maya is the cause of the gross subtle universes. Therefore, Maya is called Karana Shariram. Avidya is called Karana Shariram because the cause of samsara. Maya, avidya is also called anandamayaha koshaha because it is saturated with happiness. Isn't it? Consciousness, that's the reason. And it also covers as though, like a cover, it covers the reality, covers the self, nature of the self, therefore it is called what now? Koshaha. Anandamayaha koshaha. And the same avidya is called sleep, deep sleep. Same vyashti ajnanam, avidya, called jiva upadhihi, known as karana shariram, which is also called anandamayaha koshaha, is also said to be sushuptihi. Sushuptihi means deep sleep. Why it is called a deep sleep? We have to understand why. Why avidya is called a deep sleep? Deep sleep and avidya, deep sleep is avidya. Another word for avidya is deep sleep. He says, sarva uparamatvat. Sarva uparamatvat means totally all the powers are withdrawn, remain resolved in avidya. All the powers means what? All the five powers of organs of actions, five sense powers, karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, all the 10 powers. Now, all the 10 powers are withdrawn, remain resolved. Withdrawn. They remain where? They all remain resolved in avidya only. Remain as avidya. Understand? Therefore, there is no mind is non-functional. Even this avidya, mind is non-functional. All the thoughts are resolved. All the thoughts are resolved, therefore mind is non-functional. That is why there is no knowledge I am, there is no knowledge the universe is, there is no sense of smallness, there is no inferiority complex, there is no superiority complex, there is no notion, any notion about the self. Don't feel good about yourself, don't feel bad about yourself. There's no inferiority or superiority complex in deep sleep state. There's no desire in deep sleep state. There's no anger, there's no jealousy, there's no hatred, there's no friends, there's no association, there's no sense I am, isn't it? What happened? All the thoughts are resolved. All the thoughts remain resolved in deep sleep state, which means the mind is non-functional. And even the sense organs are all non-functional. That is why you don't see anything, don't hear anything in deep sleep state. Why? Why you don't hear, don't see anything, don't taste anything? If somebody comes and puts laddu into your, pushes into your mouth also, you will not know. You sleep like this. If you're awake, means wake up. Again, you ask for one more, you say no. If you don't like laddu, you will say no. If you like it, you'll ask for one more. But in sleep, no, something, your favorable sweet, somebody comes, brings it. You're sleeping. Oh, this person likes the sweet very much, if you put it into the mouth, at least. It doesn't matter, let him sleep. He pushes the sweet into your mouth also. You'll be sleeping. You know why? There's no sense power. All the powers, sense powers are non-functional. That's why there's no perception. Where have they gone? They are all uparamatva. They're all withdrawn. All the sense powers are withdrawn. All the powers of organs of actions are withdrawn. That's why in sleep you don't speak. Unless you're a somnambulist, you will not be walking also in sleep, isn't it? You are not walking around. Why? The karmendriyani are all withdrawn. You are not walking. You are not doing anything. Why? You are not speaking. Power, all the 5 powers. Power of organ of speech. The hands, legs, reproductive organ. All the powers are withdrawn in deep sleep state. Therefore, to be frank, the entire sukshma shariram, isn't it? Pranas alone function. All the 10 powers are withdrawn. All the thoughts remain resolved. Mind is non-functional. Understand? Manaha, buddhi, chittam, and memory also. Isn't it? Memory alone, it is there. Everything is resolved. Mind is non-functional. Manaha and buddhi, non-functional. Is it clear? Therefore, withdrawn. When all the powers are withdrawn, then that state is called what? We say, sushupt. Astihi. Therefore, in avidya, isn't it? If avidya is called sushuptihi, where all the powers remain withdrawn. Understand? Sushuptihi. Then, sthula sukshma sharira prapancha layasthanam. Sthula sukshma karana sharira, sthula sukshma prapancha sharira layasthanam means it is an abode of resolution. Which means, don't think the entire universe here. Sthula sukshma means the gross universe which you experience, your own experience, okay? Don't think of the entire gross universe. The gross universe which you experience in your, within your limits, isn't it? Whatever gross universe you experience in your waking state, that also resolves. The subtle universe, the subjective universe, your own dream which you experience in your dream, that's also withdrawn. All of them remain. The dream, your dream universe also resolves. Your gross universe also resolves. Isn't it? And everything resolves. When what is there? Isn't it? Where your own world. Every individual has one's own limited world of experience, isn't it? The world is vast. But we also experience, what we experience in waking, what we experience in dream. Our experienced external gross universe, internal dream universe, all that resolve. It's in an abode of resolution. Where does your gross universe, you experience in waking resolve? In your avidya. Where does your dream universe resolve? In avidya. Is it clear now? Therefore, it's called layasthanam. When you talk about the entire cosmos, the entire gross universe, the entire subtle universe, and all of them resolve, then layasthanam is maya. Your own gross experience of the gross universe and your experienced subtle universe, the dream universe resolve means layasthanam is avidya. Is it clear now? Hope you understand. That is why that maya is called Ishvara sleep, yoga nidra. Ishvara sushupti is what now? Yoga nidra, which is called pralayaha, isn't it? And your nidra is layaha. And what is layasthanam? Avidya. An abode of, see, the resolution is called, because that in which everything resolves, therefore it is called, all the powers remain resolved, therefore it is called sushuptihi. And the all your own world of experience, isn't it? You have experience in the waking, the gross universe which you experience in your waking, the subtle universe which you experience in your dream, all of them remain resolved in avidya. Therefore, it's called layasthanam. Is it clear? Is it clear or not? Layasthanam, an abode of resolution. What happens to, let me tell you this, what happens to the gross universe which you experience in your waking state? Resolved. Why is it not experienced? It is resolved for you. Whatever limited gross universe which you experience is resolved in deep sleep state. Where is it resolved? Avidya. Whatever dream universe you experience in your dream, this also resolves. Where? In avidya. So avidya is the layasthanam. Whereas Maya is the layasthanam for the entire gross subtle universe. Now you understood very well. All these words you have to remember now. Karana shariram, anandamayaha koshaha, layasthanam, sushuptihi. Remember these words? Karana shariram, anandamayaha koshaha, sushuptihi, layasthanam. Four words, remember? Again. Karana shariram, anandamayaha koshaha, sushuptihi, layasthanam. All the four words mean what? Avidya. All the four words also mean what? Maya. But you have the reason is the same, but different way you have to see. Okay. Now we are going to see Jeeshwaraha and Prajnaha. Now in this, teacher is going to present how this avidya and maya, what is avidya, what is maya? Ajnanam, prakritihi, is called avidya and maya. Vyashti ajnanam, samashti ajnanam, is called avidya and maya. And these two are said to be what now? Anandamayaha koshaha, isn't it? Avidya is also called anandamayaha koshaha. Maya is also called anandamayaha koshaha. So for it, the teacher is going to establish how it is anandamayaha koshaha. How avidya is anandamayaha koshaha. How avidya is saturated with, fullness. And maya is saturated with the fullness. For which he is giving, he is going to present the yukti pramanam and shruti pramanam. Yukti, the reasoning, is going to establish avidya and maya being anandamayaha koshaha through reasoning and with support of shrutihi. Look at this. Tadanim. Here you can say Ishwaraha plus Prajnaha. Ishwaraha and Prajnaha. Prajnaha is a name given to Jiva. Don't forget that. Tadanim. Yetau. Ishwara Prajnau. Ishwara Prajnyau means what? Ishwaraha and Prajnyaha. You have to remember here, Prajnyaha is the name given to Jivaha. And Ishwaraha is, Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha and Prajnyaha are nothing but consciousness associated with or obtaining in two different upadis. Maya and Avidya. So this Ishwara and Jiva, Prajna, Anandam Anubhava, we are going to see later on. Chaitanya, Pradeeptabihi, Atisukshma, Atisukshmabihi, Ajnana Vrittibihi, Anandam Anubhavataha. See, Anubhavataha means a dual verb. Anubhavati means experiences. Anubhavati means experiences. It's a verb. Anubhavataha means experience. The dual, no? The two nouns are there. Jivaha Ishwaraha cha. Isn't it? Jiva Ishwaro, you can say Ishwara Prajnyau, or you can say Jiva Ishwaro, Jiva and Ishwara. Otherwise you can say what now? Ishwara and Jiva, whatever it is, okay. They both, what now? They both, we say, they're not both. Relatively both. Absolutely one. This, they say, one and the same consciousness. Obtaining in Maya as Ishvara. Obtaining in Avidya as Jiva, otherwise called Pragyaha. They both, there's the experience. They experience Anandam. They experience happiness. Experience pleasure. Anandam anubhavataha. So here, the question comes, how is it possible? What is that experience now? Experience of anandaha. That is where you have to understand now. No? Experience happiness. Experience sorrowlessness. Experience bliss. Ishwaraha experiences bliss. And Jivaha, called known as Pragyaha, also experiences bliss. Anubhavataha. Dual. Anubhavati, anubhavataha, anubhavanti, anubhavanti plural verb, isn't it? They both experience happiness, the bliss. Anandam anubhavataha. How vritti bihi. No? Vritti bihi. Through the vrittis. Which vrittis here? Because all the sukshma vrittis are resolved in sleep. Now, when do they experience bliss? This, there is experience of bliss when Jiva experiences bliss, Ishvara experiences bliss when Tada. Tada means when? In Sushupti. In Sushupti. In Sushupti means when? When Jiva experiences bliss in deep sleep state. Now you can, we all have to remember our own deep sleep state experience. Every day, okay, during the daytime or night time, when you fall asleep, I should not say only in the night, you see. Some people keep awake the whole night and sleep during the day also. Therefore, whenever you have deep sleep state, the night or day doesn't matter. Understand? In deep sleep state, when you are fast asleep, you all experience what? Bliss. Don't need to work hard for experiencing bliss. For experience of bliss, what do you need to do? Fall asleep. Don't work very hard. Meditation and that and that and Shastra study. Okay? You have to fall asleep. That's all. Yeah, bliss. But what happens that does not last, that is what is bliss. Understand now what is bliss? When there is no sorrow at all, there is bliss. Why there is no sorrow? There is not even knowledge I am. Tadanim means when. Tadani means then. When. Then. When. All the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, all the thoughts, if the entire sukshma is resolved, only pranas alone function. In deep sleep state, when all of them are non-functional, when there is no connection with the external world, when there is no perception in deep sleep state, no external world does not exist for the one who is asleep. In deep sleep state, what you do not experience, you have to remember that. In deep sleep state, what is that you do not experience? There is no experience of the external gross world. When you're fast asleep, that the gross universe does not exist for you. For you, the gross universe is not there. Why? Gross universe means what? Your own gross body is not there. For at least you have to fall asleep to completely not to have this body. The gross body does not exist for you when you are fast asleep. Is it true or not? Which means the external gross universe, which you experience in waking state, including your gross body, becomes non-existent for the one who is fast asleep. Not only that, there is no experience of the dream universe also when you are fast asleep. Don't say, I was fast asleep, I had a dream. No, you had a dream, you were fast asleep, you had a dream, again you must have gone. Understand now, you can never say, fast asleep, I had a dream. You can't say. There's no dream universe also does not exist for you, for the one who is asleep, fast asleep. Nothing is there. There's no knowledge I am, there's no knowledge the universe is, there's no vritti, entire sukshma. Even the pranas are functioning, the functioning pranas are as good, non-existent for the one who is asleep. Do you know that you are breathing in deep sleep state? No. You do not know you are breathing in deep sleep. Do you know that there is digestion happening in deep? Nothing. In deep sleep state, there is no hunger. Before you fall asleep, you are hungry. But you fall asleep without eating anything. Once you're fast asleep, then there's no more hunger. Indeed, even though you had not had your dinner previous night, you were very tired, you were very hungry, but you fall asleep. And when you're fast asleep, no more hunger. No hunger, no thirst, no fear, no anxiety, no superiority, no nothing. Why? No external universe, no internal universe exists for the one who is fast asleep. Then what is experienced in deep sleep state? The experience of gross universe is not there, experience of subtle universe is not there, experience of what is there then? There is only experience of bliss. Understand? When you're experiencing bliss, there is one more thing experienced. When do we experience bliss? Sorrowlessness. What to have in deep sleep state is what? Experience of bliss. What is bliss? No pain, no pleasure, no sense of smallness, no jealousy, no hatred, no egg. So, experience of the absence of experience is experience of bliss. Understand? Experience of the absence of experience of pain, pleasure, etc. is experience of bliss. Experience of experiencelessness of pain, pleasure, etc. is experience of bliss. Is it clear? When there is bliss, there's also one more thing. You're also experiencing ignorance. What is ignorance? That you do not know you are you do not know, not knowing I am, not knowing the universe is called what? Ignorance. But unfortunately, you cannot talk about your experience. Is it clear? There is experience. In deep sleep state is an experience. When you experience Anandaha. Then there is what? You also have avidya. Then the question comes, how is it possible for us to, the vrittis, how can the vrittis are atisukshmabihi vrittibihi, isn't it? The experience is possible only if there is a vritti. Vritti means thought, subtler thoughts. But when you say the mind is non-functional, all the thoughts are resolved means, in deep sleep state, what is the thought? Without the thought, no experience is possible. In thought, in Sanskrit language, is called vrittihi. Antahkarana vrittihi. Vrittihi. But in deep sleep state, what vrittis are there? Some vrittis must be there for the experience to be there. Yes. What is atisukshma vrittihi? Atisukshma vrittihi means what? Vritti is there. And how? Vritti is a matter. Any thought is a matter. So how is it possible for the vrittis, isn't it? How is it possible for us to have the experience if vrittis are inert material, inert matter? The subtlest vrittis obtaining in deep sleep state are also matter, inert matter. How is experience possible? Because they are not vritti, just the vrittis. We have to what now? Deepta bihi, pervaded and illumined vrittis. Okay? The vrittis are pervaded by consciousness, illumined by consciousness. Therefore, he says here, Chaitanya pradipta bihi vritti bihi. Chaitanya pradiptabhihi vrittibhihi means what? In deep, please understand here, what he, the teacher wants to say is, in deep sleep state, okay, now he's explaining to us, using our own experience, he's explaining here, that jivaha, isn't it, the avidya is anandamayaha koshaha. Avidya is saturated with, isn't it? Happiness. If you want to explain this. And for which we are analyzing our own deep sleep state now. In deep sleep state, there is no experience of external world or subtle world, but there is experience of bliss. What is bliss? I explained to you. Experience of the experiencelessness of other worlds. Pain, pleasure, etc. That is called experience of bliss. And that experience is possible. How experience is possible? What is experience here? There is a vrittihi is there. This jiva experiences. Ishwara also experiences. Now we are understanding our own deep sleep state. Jivaha experiences bliss. So jivaha experiences means, how does through the vrittis. Vrittis are matter, isn't it? So the consciousness pervade the thoughts. Consciousness pervades the thoughts, and consciousness consciousness to the thoughts, and consciousness makes the thoughts shine. Therefore, the illumined thoughts. So, the illumined thoughts alone, there is experience of bliss possible. But how do you know that this experience was there in deep sleep state? Only on waking up from sleep. Every time when you wake up from deep sleep state, you talk about your experience, isn't it? What is your experience? I slept well. Sukham aham aswapsam. I had sound sleep. Sukham aham aswapsam. Maya kimapi nagnyatam. I did not know anything. Nothing was known to me. I did not know anything. I slept well. Oh, there's no pain, no pleasure, nothing. You talk about your experience of bliss and you talk about your ignorance. What was ignorance? I did not know anything means I did not know that I was. I did not know others were. I did not know the world was. I did not know anything means how do you know that you did not know anything? You know in the morning on waking up that you had not known anything in the night. Which means you only recollect your past experience. How can you recollect your past experience? What is the past experience? There's a recollection of your experience. Now you had during sleep. You cannot talk about something which you have not experienced. This is a recollection of the past deep sleep state experience means the memory is of what you experienced. You have the memory of what you experienced, and the recollection is of your memory of what you experienced. Isn't it? Therefore, on waking up from sleep, you talk about these two things. I slept well. That is the expression of your experience of bliss. I did not know anything is your experience of ignorance. Is it clear? Two things alone. Which means there is an experiencer. You talk about the experience of the deep sleep state on waking up from sleep, and you cannot talk about anything else other than these two things. I slept well, I did not know anything. You talk about the experience of bliss and you talk about the experience of ignorance. And you had these, understand now? The two vrittis were there, and those two vrittis, which means two. How do you know that? Experience is because the vrittis shine in consciousness. Like what? Now, when I say this, here is a mic. I don't need to tell you here is a mic in front of me. You all see this mic in front of me. Why? Because for all of you, what is clear here is the light mic is, you say, because mic shines. The mic will not shine if it does not reflect light. It cannot reflect light if there is no light. There is light, and the light pervades this opaque mic. Okay, light is, and in the presence of light, mic is, you know my keys of the nature of inert opaqueness. If there is no light, it is only darkness, it is opaque, mic cannot shine. But now mic shines, my keys, you experience mic, look at this, you all experience mic because mic shines. Mic cannot shine if there is no light. Mic shines, how? Because mic is opaque, mic is pervaded by light. Therefore, opaque mic reflects light. Is it clear now? Now, mic shines because of the reflection of the light. Mic serving as the reflecting medium of the light, reflecting the light, pervaded by the light, shines in the light. Is it clear? Similarly, it is a very gross example to understand something very, very subtle. Ajnanam. What is ignorance? What you talk about next day morning on waking up from sleep as I did not know anything last night. I slept well. Early in the morning when you wake up from sleep, when you say I did not know anything, what are you talking about? I did not know anything means you're talking about the previous night's experience when you were fast asleep. How can you say that I did not know anything? What are you talking about? It's experience. Understand? You had experience. Not only that, I slept very well. I slept very well means what? No pain, no pleasure, no desire, no complex. Good rest. Very good rest. Deep sleep means good rest. Sukham. Sukham. Understand? In fact, that is why we all don't want to get up in the morning. Don't want to be disturbed from sleep. Sukham. Why? Who will not like sukham? Who will not like sukham? Sorrowlessness, painlessness. Understand? Children get cranky and they cry because the sukham is disturbed. Even you get up in the morning, oh my God, I had to get up. Once you get up, you become all right. But just before you get up, you get angry. Irritated if somebody comes and really disturbs you when you're fast asleep. It's very natural. Sometimes the two instances when people get very angry and irritated, when they're very hungry, you get irritated because you're so disturbed, so you get irritated. And in sleep, when you're fast asleep, when somebody comes and wakes you up and disturbs your sleep, you get irritated. Irritation is expression of you don't want that sukham to be disturbed because sukham you experience. See, I'm repeating something very simple thing. It is not a great teaching, but still, know why I'm experiencing. I'm repeating so many times. There is experience of sukham. That sukham you experience from which you don't want to be disturbed, that is called bliss. And that is when there is no knowledge of anything. It's not ignorance, it's not absence of knowledge. I'm not talking about the absence of knowledge, okay? There is ignorance. I did not know, don't take it as absence of knowledge. It is not absence of knowledge. It is what? I did not know anything. I did not know anything means there is ignorance. Understand? Ajnanam. Ajnana vrittihi, sukha vrittihi. These two vrittis are there which there is experienced. Two vritti, like how mic shines here in the light. How does the mic shine? Will the mic by itself shine? Opaque mic, will it shine? No. Mic is means, mic shines means, it is, you know, with, we don't need to say, it is pervaded by light, reflects light, and thereby it shines. Similarly, only to hear, what is here is light and a mic, nothing else. Similarly, in deep sleep state, experience of mic implies mic being illumined by light. Experience of sukham, bliss, experience of ajnanam implies ajnanam vritti, sukha vritti being pervaded by, illumined by the consciousness manifest. Understand? Manifest. Obtaining in vrittis. Is it clear or not? What is there in deep sleep state? That in whose presence, because of the presence of which the opaque mic shines, is the light. That because of whose presence the inert ajnana vritti, inert sukha vritti shine, is consciousness. So experience of opaque means experience of opaque plus reflected light. So experience of sukha vritti, experience of ajnana vrittihi and experience of ananda vrittihi means experience of manifest consciousness. Understand? Therefore, here there is Chaitanyam. There is experience. You understand, that's all. Nothing, you don't need to think, look for anything else. What is there in deep sleep state? Experience. Experience implies what? Only two aspects. Consciousness, vritti. What vritti? Sukshma vritti, subtle vrittis. Subtle vrittis means how subtle it is. Inexplicably subtle. You can talk about the experience. Can you explain? Can you draw the paint? Can you paint? Draw? How ajnanam looked in deep sleep state? How sukham looked? Isn't it? You can only talk about the experience. That is why you call subtle. Understand? Ajnanam is there or not? Which means you have to, that's why you have to become subtle to understand subtle lessons. Experience means you don't need gross, big, huge things, isn't it? That is experience. Only just the two vrittis. Sukha vritti, ananda vrittihi, ajnana vrittihi. Vritti is the subtlest vritti. Atisukshma vritti. Very subtle, much subtler thoughts. In what form? Thought form, we say that. What is it here? Na? Ignorance. Can you say how subtle ignorance is? Can you understand? Don't think I'm simply repeating many times unnecessarily. Can you now imagine, at least can you see how subtle ignorance is? You need to experience to have an idea about, isn't it? Object of experience there. Which means what? You just see, there is an experience, and that experience is consciousness and vrittis. Which means, for the experience to take, isn't it? How here, for the experience of, here we can say, experience of those vrittis, what is what? Basis consciousness. Hope you understand that. Very subtle lesson. Okay. That's why he says, Chaitanya pradeeptabhihi atisukshmabhihi ajnana vrittibhihi anandam anubhavataha. Then what do we call that time? The experiencer. There is no experiencer other than consciousness. There is no experiencer other than consciousness. Now, that consciousness obtaining as the experiencer, the consciousness in whose presence, because of whose presence, because the presence of which this experience is possible. Experience of the ignorance, avidya, ajnanam, and experience of the sukham is possible. Sukha vrittihi and ajnana vrittihi. Isn't it? Sukham and ignorance. You don't even say vritti. Don't think of anything else. There is ajnanam, experience, ajnanam is experienced. And sukham is experienced, isn't it? Bliss is experienced. That because of the presence of which the experience of ajnanam and sukham is possible, that is what? That consciousness is what? No, prajna. That consciousness as the jiva is said to be what? No, prajna. There is no experiencer. Now here when you say light is there, opaque is there, and you see differentiate yourself, isn't it? But when you see, think of the deep sleep state, there's just consciousness and thoughts. What is the experiencer here? You know, when you say the mic is illumined, which means there's an illuminator of the mic is light. If I say the same light gets the status of being the illuminator in the presence of the opaque mic, isn't it? Illuminator of this mic, because of whose presence illumination of the mic is possible, is the light. Is it clear? Illuminator of the mic, the illuminator because of whose presence the illumination of the light, the opaque mic is possible, is the light. Similarly, the experiencer, the jivaha, otherwise called prajnaha, the experiencer, because of whose presence the experience of the ajnanam and anandam or sukham is possible, is consciousness. There is no experiencer other than consciousness. Just as there is no illuminator other than the light with reference to opaque mic, similarly, there is no experiencer other than consciousness with reference to ajnana vrittihi and ananda vrittihi. Or you can say experience of ajnanam and bliss. Sukham. Now we say what now? When it is there, but on waking up, when the I sense come, you say, I experienced. Why do we say now, suppose light doesn't say, I illumine the opaque, doesn't, isn't it? On waking up from sleep, when you say, I had an experience, I slept well, I did not know anything, when you say, when you identify yourself with the vrittihi, avidya vrittihi and ananda vrittihi, you get the name prajnaha jivaha. Therefore, he says what now? Similarly, Ishvara. We talk about the Ishvara next class. Now say, ananda bhuk. Cheto mukha. Prajnah iti shrutehe. See, Mandukya Upanishad, we also read this. In Mandukya, isn't it? Prajnah. Who gets the name Prajnah? Who is Prajnah here? The consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state associated with Sukha Vritti, Ananda Vritti. Isn't it? In whose presence, because of whose presence, the avidya, ajnanam being there, the sukham being there, isn't this? The experience is possible, there is known. That consciousness is said to be what now? Ananda bhuk. Ananda bhuk means what? Experiencer of bliss. Is there any other illuminator here? Who is the illuminator of the opaque mic here? Who is the illuminator of the opaque mic? Light. Illuminator of the opaque mic is light. Similarly, experiencer of ananda. Isn't it? Experiencer of anandaha. Experiencer of there. Experiencer of bliss. I don't want to say happiness. Okay. Experiencer of bliss. Sukham and experiencer of ignorance is none other than consciousness. That consciousness identified with that object of experience, bliss and avidya, gets the name prajnaha. Light is not the illuminator, but there is no illuminator other than the light. Is it clear? Because illumination is not an action. It's very swarupam. Similarly here, consciousness is not the experiencer, but there is no experiencer other than consciousness. Because knowing is the swarupam. And that consciousness, we say here whatever, identified with that vritti, ajnana vrittihi, ananda, sukha vrittihi, is called prajnaha. Associated with that is called prajnaha. Also what now? Ananda bhuk, experiencer of bliss. Next, see now, sukham aham aswapsam, sukham aham aswapsam, I slept well, na kinchit avedisham, I did not know anything at all, iti uttitasya, Uttitaha means the one who has woken up from sleep. Iti paramarshaha upapattescha. Paramarshaha means here mean what now? See, the person who has woken up from sleep refers to, now, when he talks about, on the one who has woken up from sleep, recollects his experience of deep sleep state, and he talks about what he experienced. That is the reference. Is it clear? That's called paramarshaha. The possibility, upapattihi, isn't it? What is it? Is the logically, isn't it? Don't you experience now? Don't you understand? It's upapattihi is in reasoning, no? It is the there is a possibility of the avidya upadhihi being saturated with anandaha. How do you know that? Because on waking up from sleep, you talk about it. There is sukham. Avidya is associated with what now? Sukham. You talk about it. Your own experience is available. It's a proof for saying that avidya is anandamayaha koshaha. Avidya is saturated with bliss. How do you know that? On waking up, you have your own experience. Your own experience is the proof. Is it true or not? Don't accept because I'm saying. You have to recollect your own experience of deep sleep state. And how do you say in the morning? That is enough. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.